in Hamilton. And with me and my partner on this good program is David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, and we are delighted to have you in our listening audience today. We want to remind you that we are airing on KTX 97.7 FM and also KNNK 100.5, and we're delighted to have you in our listening audience. We're also broadcasting from www.knowthetruthradio.org, and we encourage you to listen in and to be a participant in our program. This is a live call-in talk show, and if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, we encourage you to do so at 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE, or you can also look at it this way, 1-855-722-4253. We also want to encourage you that if you would like to be a part of the chat room on the KnowTheTruthRadio.org, there is a box there, the chat room, where you can be involved and begin to chat. I see that Carl McCann's already in and looking at the program, and so we want to encourage you, if you have any questions or comments about the program, if you have a question, we encourage you to either use the chat box, or you can email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org, or you can also, we'd rather you just call in at 855-QA-BIBLE. We also want to mention that our sponsors, along with the Park High Church of Christ in Hamilton and also the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the Fourth and Stewart Church of Christ in Brownwood are also having fellowship with us and being a part of our sponsors for this program. And we are delighted that they are being a part of this. And we also want to remind you that if you were unable to get the whole program, this program will also re-air at 9 o'clock on KnowTheTruthRadio.org. And so we encourage you to listen in and be a part of this program. We're involved in now talking about why we are a member of the Church of Christ. The question that we might want to ask you tonight then is this: if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, why are you a member of the religious organization that you are? Are you a member of the religious organization because it's the one closest to your home or the one you were raised in? Just why are you a member of the religious organization that you are? We have, over the last several weeks, been talking about why we are a member of the Church of Christ, and we are a member of the Church of Christ, David and I are, and many in the audience, because it was founded by the scriptural builder, Christ. And also, we are members of the Church of Christ because it was founded on the scriptural foundation, and founded at the scriptural place, Jerusalem. And last week, we began discussing and really finished up the idea that we are members of the Church of Christ because Jesus is the founder of only one church, His church. And that was a very important topic we looked at last week. And today, David, we're going to shift gears just a little bit on this. You know, there are a lot of people, David, who are saying that there's not really anything significant in a name, that you can pretty much call Bible things in any way you want to. At least it seems that way, doesn't it?
Well, it's interesting that people would come up with this idea in religion that there's nothing in a name.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, and you know, a lot of people that drive Chevrolets and GMCs. And since the government takeover, I don't drive them anymore. I drive Fords. And it bothers me to somebody to accuse me of driving something I don't drive.
Mm-hmm.
So I drive a Ford. I'm not recommending that everybody just sell all the Chevrolets and buy a Ford. But that's what I do. I drive a Ford. There is something in the name. When you say Ford, you have an idea of one thing. When you say Chevrolet, you have an idea of another thing. So there is something in the name, because a name denotes what something is.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at the significance of something in a name, there are nothing in a name, and this is a prevalent doctrine in religion, but it is the only place in the world that you will hear people say that there is nothing in a name. And it is not in keeping with Scripture to say that there is nothing in a name. There's so much in a name that God named Adam and Eve. We know who Adam and Eve are. God gave them that name. And when you look at what God has given, we don't want to take away from that.
Exactly. You know, and when we talk about God giving people names and showing the importance of this, we remember that if there is nothing in name, explain why then that God changed Abram's name to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, verse 5.
Well, it means something.
It does.
It does mean something. And his name Abram, to begin with, was a personalized name. But the name Abraham is the father of many nations.
So there was a significance behind that name.
Absolutely. It means something.
Yeah. And so when we start to look at some Bible names in reference to the church, David, in a moment, we're going to see there is significance behind these names.
Sure it is.
And that's why we should call Bible things by Bible names.
Well, to begin with, if you have different names meaning different things in the secular world, it means that there are two different names, two different stores, two different whatever it happens to be, because one will denote which one which is. And so when you have two different and opposite names of a store, you know that it's not the same place.
So you don't go into a Walmart expecting to be in an HEB, right?
No. No,
because the designation Walmart means it is Walmart. You don't call it H-E-B. Well, you know, there's nothing in the name. Let's just call Walmart H-E-B, right? We don't believe that in our modern-day society about secular things. And yet, why do people seem to have that mentality when it comes to Bible names and spiritual things?
Well, I really haven't figured that one out yet, but people do hang on to this doctrine. But when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 12 and 15, and folks, for those of you who are with us and can, we would highly encourage you to take the Bible and read these passages of Scripture with us. You see, our motto here at the HarrisonMoore.org show is, you have heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. That's the reason that we're here. We want the world to know what the Bible has to say, not what man has to say. We all know what man has to say.
Exactly.
We want to know what God has to say, because there is the importance in the entire thing. Now, if you have your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 12, Paul says this, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any of you should say that I had baptized in my own name." Well, there's a difference between Paul's name and Christ's name.
Exactly. And so he was condemning then there, David, the use of names other than a biblical name for this designation. You know, Steve writes here on our chat box, David, when you marry, is a name important? Would you want your wife called by someone else's name? Well, that tells us that the name is important.
And it is. And in that same vein, if we look in Ephesians chapter 5, what we see is the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is compared to the marriage of a man and a woman that God ordained all the way back in Genesis chapter 2. Mm-hmm. And he talks about the love of the husband for the wife, and the love of the wife for the husband, and the submission of the wife for the husband. And then he tells us, this is a great mystery, but I speak to you concerning the church. The church is the bride of Christ.
Exactly.
And so basically, in a spiritual sense, we are so committed to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we are married spiritually to our Lord. He is the bridegroom. We are the bride, and we are to wear his name. If my wife refused to wear my name, I would have a big problem with
that. All right, yeah. You wouldn't want her to be called Joy Moore when
no.
it ought to be Joy Harris,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
We understand that. Now, we're talking about why we are a member of the Church of Christ, and we're talking about is there anything in a name. You are listening to the HPR Network and also listening to the KnowTheTruthRadio.org. And remember that our phone number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE.
And it is toll-free, by the way.
Exactly. We want you to call in with a question or comment. You can also email a question to us at questions@HarrisonMoore.org. You can also get in on the chat box. If you're there at the KnowTheTruthRadio.org, there's a chat box there for you to be involved in the discussion with any questions or comments. And also remember our webpage, the HarrisonMoore.org webpage. We have past programs archived. Also, you can see us on Facebook and Twitter. And we want you to be involved. We want you also to spread the word. We want as many people possible to listen to what we have to say and also other programs on the KnowTheTruthRadio.org. There's also a Spanish portion of that if you would like to listen into that as well. So you can go to KnowTheRadio.org and listen to these, KnowTheTruthRadio.org. And also, remember that this is a live call-in talk show. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, David, is there anything in a name? Well, if there is nothing in a name, David, why not name our son Fido?
Well, that's a dog's name. Everybody knows it's fine that Fido is a dog's name.
Well, why not name our daughter a Jezebel or name her Rover?
Well, Jezebel, as long as I've lived, and I've been here a while now, I have never met a Jezebel in my life. Now, there may be some Jezebel out there. I don't know. Somebody who would like to thumb their nose at God and his will and his way. But no one would conscientiously name their daughter Jezebel if they knew the history behind the name and behind the queen and behind the Jezebel of the Revelation. No one would name their child that.
So there is something in a name.
Certainly.
We were talking about the name Judas
absolutely.
Earlier. I've never heard anybody named Judas. Have you?
No, I have not.
Why is that?
The reason being because we know that Judas is Iscariot of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, if you go to the dictionary and you look up the word Judas, here's what you'll find. A person treacherous enough to betray a friend. That is what a Judas is. And so we have adapted this name to fit the description of a very treacherous, treasonous person.
Mm-hmm.
And no one would name their child that because that is what that means. That is the whole concept of what that means. And so there is something in a name.
So the reason we're even talking about this, David, is sometimes there are people out there in the denominational world who are using names that are not in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And they come with the argument, well, there's really nothing in the name. Well, as we begin to look at this, you know, you hear, when you look around in the denominational world, David, do you see names of religious organizations that are not found in the Bible?
Oh, no doubt. They're all over the place.
You know, we've got out there near Hamilton, we've got a place called the Barn Church. You got the Cowboy Church. You got the Baptist Church. You got all kinds of things like this that we need to be aware of. And so what we've got to ask then is, what does the New Testament call the church? We've already established the fact that there is something in the name. Well, what we need to be concerned about then, David, is what does the New Testament call the church?
Well, we've already been over this once, but it's always good to remind ourselves what Jesus said about the name of the church or the church and to whom it belongs. He gave right away before the church was ever established in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. He told everybody that this church belonged to him. He said, upon this rock, upon the confession that he was the Christ, when Peter gave the confession and made that great confession that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, and upon this rock I will build my church.
So Jesus said, it's my church because he's the builder of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it is Christ's church.
Right.
It is my church. You know, the name the church is also mentioned in Acts chapter 8 and verse 11, meaning a group of called out people. And, you know, we've already mentioned the Lord has but one such group. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, singular.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is called the church, and that is a singular term in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1.
And I think it's very interesting. We've got a chat from Carl here. And he says, you know, there is nothing in a name unless that name is the Church of Christ. And then the denominational world, they go, oh, wait a minute, not that name, not that name. Any name but that name.
Mm-hmm.
They say, oh, we're all one, we're all going to heaven, we're just choosing a different path. Even though Jesus would say in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. There is one exclusive way, and it belongs to Jesus Christ.
You know, I've had some people in the denominational world who tell me, yeah, we're part of the Church of Christ, but they're in a denomination.
Sure.
And so they term the Church of Christ universal, and then all of these various denominations in this Church of Christ. But what we talked about last week how that when Jesus was talking about the vine and the branches,
mm-hmm.
and some people were claiming to be a branch off the true vine of Jesus, and that these denominations were just branches.
Right.
Well, Jesus says you got to get in the vine.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of a branch, get in the vine. And so the idea here is that we need to call Bible things by Bible names, and we're going to refer to a religious organization that is scriptural. It has to have a scriptural name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's also called. Now, remember, the number to call, if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE. You can chat with us. You can also email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. Now, David, the Bible also refers to the church as the Church of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. Now, David, that shows ownership.
Mm-hmm.
It is God's church.
Right.
Now, man has tried to make it his church by changing names and by doing things his own way. And people will say, well, that's my church. Well, you know, if you're not doing it God's way, it is your church.
Right.
But I want to be a part of God's church.
Absolutely. There's absolutely no question to whom the church belongs.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's so inconsistent. And Carl brought this up just a moment ago, the inconsistency of the religious world. It is so inconsistent for somebody to call the church God's and then not make him the object of our devotion.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, when we talk about what the New Testament calls the church, another interesting designation is found in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16,
mm-hmm.
isn't it, David?
Yes.
The churches of Christ salute you. Tell me about that, David.
Well, all of the different congregations that you read about in your New Testament, every single one of them were established by the principles of righteousness that were given to the apostles to get those things established, to get all of those churches established. What we have here, and all of the different churches there, they are all churches of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we will get into the autonomy of the Church of Christ in just a minute. Each one of them stood on their own two feet.
We would call them the congregations,
yes.
Various congregations of the Church of Christ, the Lord's Church, my church, the Church of God, the Church of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They were local congregations, one church, but local congregations of that one church.
Yes.
Again, that's a Bible term, right, David?
Absolutely. Scriptural as it can be.
Well, Well, you know, also the church in the New Testament is referred to as the body of Christ, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that tell us about the church, David?
Well, the body of Christ, the body is a group of people that belong to Christ. As we mentioned just a moment ago when we talked about Jesus Christ being the bridegroom and the church being the bride and the body is the church.
Exactly. And so when we talk about these ideas of what the church is called, we have to, again, get back to what the Bible says. We've seen it's called my church, the church of God, churches of Christ, the body of Christ, and also, David, in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, is called the church of the living God. One of the things that we learn about all of these designations, it points to he who is the owner of the church.
Right. And he who should be the devotion of our worship.
You know, when if I were to own a car or a house, whose name would be on the title?
Well, if you owned it, you would make sure that your name would be on it.
You know, I wouldn't want to own a house and have your name on the title, would I?
No.
And so we've got a lot of people out there, though, who are carrying another name on their religious organization. And so what they're saying then there is that Christ isn't the owner. It's the logical thing. If Christ owns a church, he purchased the church with his own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28, then his name ought to be on the title. And that's what these designations are showing, Christ and God as the owner of them.
And some people in the denominational world say that, well, you guys are just nitpicking here. You're just nitpicking. But if you were buying a house, and you signed your name on the note, then you would want your name on the abstract.
Exactly.
Designating ownership.
You know, this concept of being a Christian and the Lord's church is really one it's people can't get a hold of. You know, when if you go up to somebody on the sidewalk, David, and they were to ask you, hey, where are you religiously? I tell them that I'm a Christian. See, yeah, we are Christians, but what kind of Christian are you? Well, no, I'm just a plain Christian. Yeah, I know we're all Christians, but what kind are you? They're wanting you to say you're a Baptist or a Methodist or an Episcopalian and all that kind of thing. And that concept of calling things simply by Bible names and not using man-made names,
mm-hmm.
like Baptist Church, Methodist Church, Catholic Church, getting back to what the Bible designates the church to be is really a foreign concept to people. Well, they haven't even thought about it.
No, they really haven't. And if you think about it, if you are not the recipient of your note, as the note that we were talking about mm-hmm. just a moment ago, that you signed your name to the note, but you don't have your name on the abstract. You signed your name to the note, but you don't have your name on the title. Does it matter? You bet it matters, because whoever's name is on the title, regardless of who pays for it, that's who's going to end up with it. And so Jesus Christ was sacrificed by God, and he purchased the church with the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. That is the purchase price of the church, the blood of God's one and only Son, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. There is the purchase price. That is the reason that we see the designation that it belongs to God.
Exactly.
It belongs to God. Jesus Christ purchased it with his blood, and it belongs to God. Now, I'd like to remind everybody that we have several stations listening in here. We want to thank you for listening. KNNK 100.5, KATX 97.7, KATX in Eastland, KNNK in Hereford, Texas, and also all of you that are listening on KnowTheTruthRadio.org worldwide. We want to welcome each and every one of you as you listen. There are various ways to get on here. If you have a mobile phone, you can still tune in on the TuneIn application. You can pick up KnowTheTruthRadio.org, or you can pick up KATX either. Both of them are on your cell phone if you have a smartphone to listen to us there. You can also email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org, or you can get on this chat box, which is on KnowTheRadio KnowTheTruthRadio.com.
Dot org.
I'm sorry. KnowTheTruthRadio.org. You can get on that chat box, and you can not only chat with us, but you can see what everybody else has to say as we are going through here. And we want to encourage you to also call us. We've got a toll-free number here, and we'd love for somebody to call us in on this toll-free number, 855-QA-BIBLE. Just spell it out, 855-QA-BIBLE. It is a toll-free number, won't cost you a dime, and we highly encourage you to call in and give us your question or your comments.
So, David, we're talking about why I am a member of the Church of Christ, and we're asking you to ask yourself that if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, why are you a member of the religious organization that you are?
Mm-hmm.
We are currently talking about, is there anything in a name? And we have shown that there is something in a name, or we wouldn't be naming, or we wouldn't name our daughters Rover or Fido, and we wouldn't name our sons Judas,
mm-hmm.
Things of that nature. And then we're talking about presently about what does the New Testament call the church? Well, Jesus said it's my church, refers to as simply the church of God, church of Christ, the body of Christ, the church of the living God, church the firstborn, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23. Isn't it strange, David, that people who claim to belong to Christ will be a member of a religious group whose name is foreign to the Bible?
Well, it gets back to the comment that we made about the husband and the wife, and the wife who refuses to wear the husband's name.
Mm-hmm.
The husband is the head of the house, even as Christ is the head of the church. Christ being the head of the church and he being the bridegroom, we being the bride, we must wear his name. If it is that we want to show that we truly confess the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
So if there's someone in the audience who is listening to us, well, I guess if you're in the audience, you are listening to us, but if you are there and you are a member of an organization whose name is not in the Bible, we would like for you to call in and tell us why you think that is the proper thing to do. Why would you want to be a member of a religious organization whose name is not even found in the Bible? I tell you what, David. I think we ought to establish a Harris and Moore Expedition to the Bible Church. What do you think?
Well, I'd be afraid to do it.
Why?
Well, because it would be unauthorized.
Exactly. And so there are a lot of people out there, David, who are wearing names and belonging to religious groups whose names are not found in the Bible.
No authority for it whatsoever.
No authority whatsoever. And so ask, why are you involved in this? If you want to be, if you claim to be a Bible church, well, then you ought to be having a Bible name on the building or the group of people that's associated with that, should you not?
Sure. Absolutely. And just the Bible name alone is never going to be enough. The Bible name only puts it correct.
There are other things.
This is a very simple procedure. We are members of the Church of Christ because it's a scriptural name. It is a scriptural name. Now, there are other scriptural names as well.
Exactly.
Not only just the Church of Christ, there are other scriptural names that would denote God's ownership of the church.
Exactly. We could simply call ourselves the Church of God,
sure,
or simply the church. These are biblical terms.
Mm-hmm.
But you know also, David, the New Testament also has names that its members are called.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get in that, it's about time for us to take a radio break. We're going to take a break from our radio audience, and we're going to keep on with the Internet, but you are listening to the HPR Network.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, "Those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God," Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the DeLeon Church of Christ in DeLeon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the DeLeon Church of Christ in DeLeon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HBR network or any of its agents.
And we talked about what the New Testament calls the church. And what we're going to look at now is, why does the New Testament call members of the Lord's church? You know, David, there are various terms that the Bible uses to describe its members, does it not?
Yes, and we can peruse through the scriptures, if you will. You look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. And in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, you will find that the Lord's members, the members of the Lord's church, mm-hmm. are called disciples. It says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them. So what this tells us is they are disciples. They are students of the Word, learners. They're followers of Jesus Christ. When we become followers of Jesus Christ, we actually imitate the example that is given to us.
Exactly. And so if somebody were to ask us, David, well, what are you religiously? You could tell them that you're a disciple of Christ,
absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. Because we are a learner or a follower
mm-hmm.
of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We know the New Testament also calls members of the Lord's church saints, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. And why would we be called saints, David?
Well, we're called saints because we have been saved from our past sins mm-hmm. through a baptism and an obedience to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are then holy, we are pure, we are set apart by the gospel. But I think the interesting thing about the terminology is that the religious world, the denominational religious world, has hijacked
exactly.
the name saint, and people are scared to death to use the word saint. I'm a saint, you're a saint, every member, every faithful member of the Lord's body, every faithful member of the Church of Christ is a saint. And we know that because the Bible tells us that. We can read it in several different places. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 2 is one of those places where we can read that. And right here we are told, and as Paul writes this letter through the Holy Spirit, he says, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them which are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints."
Saints. You know, when you think about that phrase, saints, David, the Catholic religion has really botched that term.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Nowadays, when you someone to have sainthood, you
mm-hmm.
hear that they've got to have performed a miracle and done these various things, and then you can have sainthood. Well, the Bible tells us that when we have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, believing on him, repenting of our sins, confessing his name, being baptized, immersed in water for the remission of our sins, we become a saint. We are set apart from the sinful world, set apart unto a new life. We are saints.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, David, another term that Christians or that God's people are called in the Lord's church is beloved of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. David, why do you think someone would be referred to as the beloved of God?
Well, we get back to the promise that God has made even before Jesus was ever crucified in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
So that makes us pretty special people, doesn't it, David?
Absolutely. We are blood bought.
We are blood bought, and he loved us enough to give his Son. And so when we become obedient to him, when his sacrifice has been used in our lives, we then become the beloved of God.
Mm-hmm.
But also, David, the Bible talks about members of the Lord's church as being called brethren. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 6. And does this not, David, show us some type of a relationship?
Sure it does. It shows the brotherhood in Christ Jesus. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that we're brethren with the rest of the world. It means that the church is the called out, and all of the called out then become brothers and sisters in Christ if they are obedient to the gospel plan of salvation, if they are baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, and not until then.
Exactly. Now, the number to call, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You can also email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. You are listening to the HPR Network. You are also listening to the KnowTheTruthRadio.org. And we want you to get involved in our chat box, and also there's a little green button you can punch there. We want to also remind you of our webpage, theharrisonmoore.org, and we want you to listen to maybe some of the archived programs. Also, we're on Facebook and Twitter. Now, we're talking about why we are a member of the Church of Christ. We're talking about why our name's important.
Mm-hmm.
We showed earlier, David, that the names of the church found in the Bible, and we ask you and challenge you that if you're a member of a religious organization whose name is not found in the Bible, we want you to come and tell us why you think that that is a proper thing to do. Because David and I, if we are wrong, we want to be showed wrong. I want to be right, don't you, David?
Absolutely.
And I want you to show us why you think it is all right for you to go by some name that is foreign to the Bible. Now, we're talking now about what members of the Lord's church are called. We've talked about disciples, saints, beloved of God, brethren, and then, David, we're called
sons of God.
Sons of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14.
And this shows a relationship with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
We've got four names here that will denote God's family.
Mm-hmm.
Brethren, sons of God, and then children of God. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 again shows our relationship with the Father, and then heirs of God. And this shows what we are to inherit from God. Now, everybody should understand what heirship means. Heirship is talking about what one gets from his family, from his father, from his mother. When Joy and I die, we're going to make a will,
mm-hmm.
and that will give everything that we have to our children.
Exactly.
Because they will be our heirs.
So you're not going to give your inheritance, your inheritance to my children?
No, I am not, Tom.
Well, too bad about that.
Yes, it is.
But you know, a lot of people, don't realize that if we want to receive the spiritual inheritance of God, we need to be a part of his family, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to give it to his children.
Right.
And so, therefore, the word children of God, sons of God. You know, children of God are mentioned in 1 John 3 and verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Again, showing that we are to inherit from God. We are a part of His family. He is our Father, right?
Yes, and I think it's very interesting, as long as we're talking about heirship here, when we get back over here to the book of Matthew and Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21, listen to this. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Exactly.
Okay, so we are not going to inherit heaven if we are not the heirs of God, the sons of God, the children of God, the brethren in the church.
Now, in regard to the names that we are to refer to ourselves in the Lord's body, Paula makes a good point on the chat box. She says, Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 5, and Isaiah 65 and verse 15 contain the prophecy that God would give His followers a new name. It was important enough for God to reveal prophecy concerning the name change. And she said her Bible has reference to the way. You know, and so what we've got to realize is that when the Lord talks about the Church of Christ, it's not just a Church of Christ translation or these names. It has reference to the Lord's church. And that tells us, David, that that there is something in the name.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was prophesied that we were going to have a new name. And the Christians were, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch.
Right.
And so that is a Bible name. It is not a term of derision, but is a term that Bible uses to refer to God's people. You know, we're also called in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, priest. Now, people have misused that phrase, haven't they, David?
Oh, no doubt about it. But in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, this shows how that we may offer acceptable worship to God. And there he tells those folks, he says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him that has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. It shows us that we are obligated to show our praises to God. Well, I can't show my praises to God if I refuse to wear His name.
Exactly. You know, so we've got to realize the importance of really using Bible names. Now, we must wear, David, only names that the Bible uses to designate God's people. David, I am not a Baptist because the Bible never refers to God's people in that way.
Never.
I am not a Methodist because the Bible never refers to God's people in this manner.
Never.
I am not an Episcopalian because the Bible never refers to God's people in that way.
Never.
And I am not a Lutheran because the Bible never refers to God's people in such terms. And we could go with a long list of things, couldn't we, David?
Sure, we could.
I'm a member of the Church of Christ because it sticks with what the Bible calls God's people, just Christians.
Nothing else.
Nothing else.
Just Christians.
Now, we're talking about why we are a member of the Church of Christ, and we've talked about various things, and we're talking about, is there anything in a name? Now, we realize that there is something in a name. We've already shown that fact, and we've talked about what the Bible calls the Lord's church. We've also talked about what the Bible calls members of the Lord's church. But, you know, there's also other names, David, in our day and time that people in the religious world are really misusing with regard to maybe some kind of religious title.
Well, really, we have, and the most prominent thing here, and this goes back to the denominational world and how the denominational world wants to set itself up higher and more glorious than what God has set up the church. And the very first thing that we see here, and we can go back and we can see a pattern of this kind of thing happening all the way back in the Old Testament in Nehemiah chapter 13. Now, Nehemiah was a book that was written about the people, God's people, who had been in captivity. God allowed his people to go into captivity for punishment for 70 years for their refusal to acknowledge him as God. They were actually worshiping idols there and calling it good enough for God.
Exactly. So they came back from, they were coming back from that captivity to their own land, and he said that they were using the half-speech of Ashdod, Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 23 through 24. David, what did he mean exactly when he was saying they were using the half-speech of Ashdod?
Well, the Chaldeans, the country in which they were in, the Chaldeans adopted, or the children of God, they adopted the Chaldean speech. And a lot of the Chaldean speech were... it was surrounded around false gods that were there in the Babylonian territory just before the Persians took it over. And so they came away talking the heathen language of the Chaldeans, and they couldn't call Bible things or scriptural things by scriptural names because they had been so involved in worldly things that they didn't even know what the scriptural names were anymore.
Exactly. So we have kind of the same problem today, don't we, David?
No doubt.
People have gotten away from the Bible and they don't even know what Bible names are.
No.
They don't have any idea that what they're saying is far beyond what the Bible says. Now, David, before we get further with this, we've got listeners listening in today from Snyder, Quitman, Killeen, also other places like Durant, Oklahoma, and Bogota, Colombia are listening in today. And so,
I think that's Bogota.
Bogota? Okay, well, I'm not too good with Colombian speech there. But we've got people listening from a lot of areas, and we're thankful and happy that you're in our audience today. Now, we're talking about what about religious titles? Some people today, David, are using the half-speech of Ashdod. They're not calling Bible things by Bible names. You know, and the Bible says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, if any man speak, what, David?
Let him speak in the oracles of God.
Exactly. And so we're going to call Bible things by Bible ways. And so figuratively speaking, we have much of the language of Ashdod in our world. And many are exalting titles are now being used in opposition to the teachings of the Bible. And David, one of those self-exalting titles is one you hear almost every day, and that is the word reverend.
This one chills my bones. And the reason is because so many people use it. I have been referred to as reverend. You have been referred to as reverend. Nearly every member of the Church of Christ who is privileged to preach has been referred to as a reverend, and that is just wrong as wrong can be.
Exactly.
First of all, we need to know what that word means, reverend. The name itself means worthy to be revered. That is what the English word means. It is only used one time in our Bible in the 111th Psalm, and verse number 9, we'll find it. If you will take your Bibles and turn there to the 111th Psalm, and verse number 9, you can read it for yourself. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. And that means God is entitled to reverence,
exactly.
Not man.
Isn't it interesting, David, that there is no mention of in the scriptures of Reverend Paul or Right Reverend James or the Right Reverend Peter. And yet, many preachers speak of Paul as just plain Paul, Peter is just plain Peter, and John is just plain John,
right.
And yet turn right around and refer to themselves as Reverend so-and-so. But the Bible says only God is reverend.
Yes.
You know, it'd be comical if it wasn't so tragic, calling Peter plain Peter, and but yet calling himself reverend so and so.
Well, not only that, and we're going to get into this a little deeper in just a second, but when we see that name reverend, people wear it with a prideful, haughty attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And they take that, they demand reverence to them, and thus In so doing, they separate themselves from the rest of the people. You do not find that in Scripture. As a matter of fact, when we look at Paul and the way that he referred to himself in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, the very first thing that Paul referred to himself there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1 when he wrote the letter to the Roman church, to the Roman church of Christ, he begins that letter by saying, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called himself a servant first, even though he was an apostle.
Before he even designated himself as an apostle,
yes.
I'm going to tell them, I am a servant.
First and foremost, a servant of Christ. I'm not a reverend, I'm not an apostle first, I am a servant first. And then he said, called an apostle,
mm-hmm.
secondly. And he does this over and over and over again. He never heaps glory upon himself, and yet this is what we see these so-called preachers and ecclesiastical men, clergy, if you will, wanting to heap pride and haughtiness upon themselves by calling themselves reverend, and it's a very difficult thing for me to stomach when somebody would demand that you call them reverend. I won't do it.
I'll demand not to do it.
I will not do it.
You know, and also another phrase that is so often misused, David, is the word pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how many times when people will call up the church building and say, are you the pastor? And I'll say, no, I am the gospel preacher here. The denominational world's idea of pastor and what the Bible says is a pastor is much different, isn't it, David?
Right.
When the Bible refers to a pastor, the Bible is referring to as an elder in the Lord's church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, Acts 14, verse 23 says that a pastor is an elder in the church.
Right.
And to show that the pastor and the preacher are not the same is clearly seen in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, where there it says, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, there's you and me, David,
mm-hmm.
and some pastors and teachers. And so he makes a clear designation. There's a difference between a preacher and a pastor.
No doubt about it.
And the, of course, the qualifications of a pastor or an elder are found in 1 Timothy chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
So there, again, that's just coming in. Let's call Bible things by Bible names.
And we're not being nitpicky here. This is very important to God, that we understand what's going on here. Again, we would like to remind you that you're listening to the HPR Network, and in addition to that, you're listening to Know the Truth, knowthetruthradio.org,
exactly.
Excuse me. And we would ask that that you call in or get on the chat box. You can call in at 1-855-QA-BIBLE, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That is a toll-free number. The topic that we have here is what's in the name.
Exactly.
And we're looking at the biblical scriptural aspect of what is in the name. What is in the name that goes on the body of Christ? What is in the name that goes on the disciples of Christ or the followers of Christ? What are these names? And then, what about names that are unscriptural that we're talking about here, such as reverend and pastor, these unscriptural names? There's another name out there in the denominational world that just boils my blood, and it's called clergy.
Exactly. David, as we begin to wind up our thoughts for our program tonight, it's important for us to realize that clergy is another one of those names that are misused. You know, clergy means to set up above the laity.
Right.
And so that word clergy then is putting them above the normal folk, if you will. And yet you find that used so often in the world, but you know what, David? The word clergy is not found in the Bible.
Neither is laity.
Neither is laity.
But you get back to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, and we are all part of the royal priesthood. Mm-hmm. Not just those that call themselves something. We are all, if we are Christians, then we are saints, we are disciples, and every single one of us are part of the royal priesthood of God.
So our whole thought today, David, is there anything in the name? Does it really matter what we call things?
Certainly it does.
One final thought today, David, is the word Father. It's a word that is often used as a religious title in direct opposition to the teachings of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 9, Jesus says, call no man your father upon this earth. Now, that's not saying it's wrong for me to call Grady Thomas Moore, who is my daddy, my father. What he's referring to is call no man your father in a religious sense, putting some exalting title on him. And yet, what do you see happening in the religious world?
Oh, call me father.
Exactly.
Call me father. Call me father. And that is just so, so wrong. Well, if for those of you who have been in on our chat box, we want to thank you. We've had I don't know how many chats come on here, a good number of chats with some wonderful, wonderful thoughts, and we have tried to use as many of these thoughts as we can. Carl writes, what's in a name, heaven or hell? Well, you better know what the difference is here, and that's a very good point. When we look at what's in a name, and we look at what we're studying here, why I am a member of the Church of Christ, all in the world we're trying to throw out there today, is ask yourself the question, those of you who are in a religious organization that does not wear the name of Christ, ask yourself why. And if you can't figure that out, go ask your preacher about it. Ask him why. And then get on the telephone and call us or send us an email. We would love to have a dialogue with you as to why it is wrong. And we would love to show you what the Bible has to say about why you and I are what we are supposed to be.
You know, if we claim to be a Bible church, wouldn't we also want to have Bible designations and Bible names by what we do and what we say?
Well,
it's logical thinking, isn't it, David?
Absolutely.
And yet people who claim to be Bible churches are using so many names that are foreign to what the Bible has to say.
Right.
Now remember, number that you can call us at any time. Now we want you to get the courage up to call in next week. We've had a lot of people on the chat box, but we want you to call in and discuss with us. The number to remember to call next week is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. David, if we're going to be a member of the Lord's church, we're going to have to believe in him. We're going to have to repent of our sins, confess his name. But Jesus also said we're going to have to be baptized to be saved, right?
No doubt about it.
In the day of Pentecost, when they did that in Acts 2, verse 47, they were added what?
They were added to the church.
To the church. The church, what we've been talking about today, the church of Christ, the Lord's church, the body of Christ, the church of God, and we become then members of the Lord's church. And so when we think about this idea then, David, of why I'm a member of the Church of Christ, we are members of the Church of Christ because it is a scriptural designation. Now, we also realize, David, it takes more than just calling it something. It has to be something as well. You can call a chicken a duck, but that don't make it so, right?
No, sir. No, sir, it doesn't.
So what we're looking at then is the whole picture. One aspect of that picture is it has to be scriptural in designation.
It has to be scriptural. We've got to be a Christian. And for those of you who are listening to us on the HPR Network, we want to thank you for tuning in. We're just about out of time. Remember the number, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We want to sign off of the HPRN network by saying God bless America and God bless our troops. Tom, you've got the last word on the radio.
We'll see you next week on the Harrison Moore Expedition of the Bible. Thank you for being in our audience. Thanks for listening really from all over the world. We're thankful that you're here, and God bless you.